a story that we would never have thought we'd be bringing you 6 months ago. 6 months ago, what we're about to talk about would have been just out of the question. And we're talking about a local issue right here in the Puget Sound area. There are only two Republican members of the King County Council. One of them just forced the hand of all of his colleagues to stand up and take a stand, meaning he forced a vote on whether or not King County should keep its youth commitment center, its juvie jail, if you will, whether it should keep it open, or maybe during a huge juvenile crime surge, this would be the time to close it. Dow Constantine, in the immediate aftermath of the George Floyd Black Lives Matter riot, said that he intended to close the center no later than next year. Again, this was 4 years ago. He said he wanted to close it by 2025. He said, because we needed to move public funding away, quote, from systems that are rooted in oppression, close quote. Just a remarkably ridiculous statement. By the way, 97% of the 48 juveniles in detention, 97% of them have been charged with felonies. So he just got weary of his colleagues playing games with this issue. And so finally Reagan then said, okay, let's just vote on whether to open to keep it open or close it. They held that vote yesterday, and not a single member of this Democrat-dominated county council would vote to close it. They all blinked.
Those voting today say it is very important to them that they find alternative help for troubled youth.
The numbers really are staggering. Between 2021 and 2023, felonies committed by young people spiked 146% in King County alone.
Hey, he's gonna go!
With many of those troubled teens headed to a place that was supposed to be on the chopping block. Until now.
Vote is 8 ayes, 0 noes.
By a unanimous vote, King County lawmakers decided not to close the Patricia H. Clark Children and Family Justice Center until at least 2028.
It's giving a couple of guard.
This is Reagan Dunn.
Guardrails on where we need to be. The Clark facility will stay open. We're going to work on some other stuff as well, and I think that's important.
Other stuff being beefed up support for programs that'll get troubled teens on the straight and narrow.
I think where we landed is more comprehensive, and it also signals our desire to evolve.
Yet many people who attended this meeting flat out disagreed.
Now we're going to play you the comments of the people on the other side, and I want you to know that several members of the King County Council, all of them Democrats, were being held under the sway of activists and arguments like the ones you're about to hear.
What actually keeps us safe? If you house us, if you feed us, if you give education, if you give basic resources.
This country has invested in a cycle of harm and traumatization that ensures that you will continue to have an incarcerated population.
This vote happened as juveniles are staying at this facility a lot longer than in the past. In 2017, it was an average of 12 days, but now it's an average of 36.
And also talking about the juveniles staying there, it has gone up over the years. It's gone up steadily since COVID, but compared to 20 years ago, officials say it is still down substantially. Coming to you live from Seattle tonight, Ryan Sims, KOMO News.
And it's not clear that that's a good idea, that it's down substantially, because juvenile crime is dramatically higher than it was 10 or even 20 years ago. Nevertheless, Reagan Dunn gets all of his colleagues on the record. No, we don't want to close the jail. What do you think Dow Constantine is thinking right about now? Councilman Dunn, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think Dow Constantine is making of all this?
I think Dow's pretty mad at me right about now, but you know what? It feels good. You know, his policy to close the jail and open up some ridiculous alternative that isn't thought through, and in his case, he was planning on opening unsecured respite houses throughout the community in Bellevue and Renton and Redmond, and it was just a ridiculous, stupid idea.
In other words, you say unsecured, they would be put in home-like environments with no locked doors?
Right. Halfway houses out and around the community that somehow would be better for their healing. But what they forget to tell you is that 97% of those folks that are in there are for felonies, the overwhelming majority for violent felonies like rape and murder and aggravated assault and armed robbery. And they're not just there for first offenses, friends. These guys have long rap sheets. They have a continuing pattern of predatory behavior. It's just a stupid idea. And I was able, through some significant political maneuvering, to force the council to vote. And when you vote, all the BS rhetoric where you're trying to sit on the fence, it goes away, and you have to take a position. And at the end of the day, we got them. And that facility isn't just going to stay up until 28. It's going to stay open, period. And we were hemorrhaging staff because everyone was leaving. Morale was low. And now those folks can breathe easier up there as we're going to continue to do the operations. And we need to, with 146% increase in violent felony.
Yeah, if anything, I think the population of the Juvenile Justice Center needs to be much higher. I mean, again, we're talking, as you are pointing out, the overwhelming majority, 97%, are in there for felonies, and most of them for very violent felonies. There's other violent felons who are not being incarcerated who are repeat offenders who should be.
You're absolutely right. Well, the statistic is about 80% of those individuals will reoffend in the first 6 years. So it's a revolving door, as they say. You have to put them behind bars. That population was way higher than that. It was well over 200 for many years. And what's happening is they are releasing people out with no time or to connect with alternatives to incarceration, these little pass the talking stick programs that are shown to not even 30% aren't even showing up. They're ghosting the programs altogether. And what is happening is
when they get an alternative to incarceration and they don't show up, then what happens?
Well, you're supposed to be prosecuted, but recent studies, and this is why I've been calling for an audit now for many months to see exactly what has been happening and what we can do about it. They're just ghosting. They're not even showing up. They're not connecting. And there's a huge delay if they're being prosecuted at all. And so there is zero accountability for youth in our system in King County right now. Until now, we're starting to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And that is why you're seeing this 146% increase in felony filings for juveniles, because the system isn't working. The soft on crime, give them a hug, let them go in the community, doesn't work. And in fact, it's counterproductive. It only encourages more crime.
Well,
period.
Of course it does. I mean, you can make the case, Reagan, that if you use the conservative measurement of an effective system, i.e. lower juvenile crime, that's clearly not happening under the status quo. And if you use the progressive, the liberal measurement of a good system, i.e. Very few people in juvenile justice and hopefully none at all, that's not happening either, because they're going on to commit far more serious, severe, at times vicious crimes, and that's why they're in juvie jail longer, because they're committing far more serious crimes. Go ahead.
And the crimes are against minority populations much more than they are against to white people as well. So, I mean, it just hurts minority communities. All of this is bad. But the arguments I'm up against are so bad. Oh, John, these are just our children, and they shouldn't have to go through the trauma.
That's not an argument.
Incarcerated.
That's not even an argument. And by the way, the trauma, have they thought about the trauma victims are going through?
No, it's all about the defendant, the criminal, the trauma for the criminal. Never mind the person that was just brutally raped murdered.
Help me out on this one, Reagan,
yeah, sure.
Because you hear these arguments. When it is pointed out, because they love to play the race card on these, you know, a disproportionate number of the people in these facilities are children of color, they will say. When you point out to them that the vast majority of victims of these criminals are people of color, what's the response?
That I'm a racist. I had that half a dozen times yesterday. And look, it's obviously we have the intellectual and moral high ground on this issue.
Of course
you do. My colleagues, as liberal as they are, knew that. They didn't want to take a vote, but we forced the vote. And now remember, folks, you know, nobody wants to incarcerate a 16-year-old. But when they're raping and murdering and sexually assaulting people, and they have a long pattern of doing stuff like that, you don't have any choice. And so that's why the taxpayers spent $230 million on building a brand new facility in 2020 that has classrooms, it has gymnasium, it has a library, it has facilities that can be expanded to help them out. And they're not there very long pre-trial. It just is a real basic, obvious thing. But, you know, in this county, as I've learned over the years, just doing something obvious, basic, good government is sometimes harder than it needs to be.
Okay. So you won a substantial victory.
Yeah.
What comes next?
Okay, well, so that fight, well, I think we're in a good spot there on the juvenile facility. The next is that now Dow wants to close the adult jail, the one right there next to the King County Courthouse in downtown, shrink it in size and reopen something reimagined down in Soto. So we got to stop that one. And, you know, you can't cite these things. I mean, it's like trying to cite a level 3 sex offender facility in your neighborhood. Like,
right.
People, you know, that's why you have jail. And once
don't,
you have
don't
jail,
don't you want to have, there. I mean, just as a practical matter, yeah. Councilman Dunn, don't you want to have your jail close to your courtrooms?
Yeah, and we actually have a bridge. If you look across from the courthouse to the jail, we have a bridge because these guys are some bad people, and they wear different color jumpsuits depending how dangerous they are. Red is means you're very dangerous, and they handcuffs. You got to have it together. This is just dumb. It's all. Dow, let me just say this. Dow's operating under the 2020 defund, disarm, and disparage the police mode. He hasn't been able to pivot. Even the Seattle City Council has pivoted. My goodness, it's time for King County to wake up and realize that those approaches to policing and the criminal justice system only fail and create way more crime.
Why do you think he's holding on to this radical position?
I don't know. I don't know. Part of me just thinks he just got tired of that very well-organized abolitionist movement who wants to tear down the criminal justice system and just said, what the hell? So my last term, I'll just let them get what they want to get, and I'm just not going to stand in their way.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that is absolutely the wrong attitude.
Well, you know, he's not going out on a high point. And again, I think putting more pressure now on the King County prosecutor to overhaul the way they are prosecuting juvenile crime needs to come next.
Yep, I agree with that, too, for sure. Thanks for that input.
Reagan, Dunn, good going. Thanks for joining us here on the John Carlson Show.